Hi, my name's Ali, and this is the Rus Files Unite podcast, where we watch Russian films and films with a Russian connection. As always, I am joined by a guest, and actually this time around, I am joined by two guests. So, hi, Marilag, and hi, Megan.
Hi.
So,
hi.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. So, Marilag, I guess you first. Could you introduce yourself to the listeners, please?
Yeah, I'm Marilag Engway, and I'm a co-host with Megan for Fabulous. Now I'm getting tongue-tied. Fabulous Retellings podcast, and that's a podcast about fairy tales. So I'm not so much a veteran of the podcasting business, but I do like blogging and I do like reading and watching movies, so...
You're our fairy tale genius expert, whatever.
Consultant.
Obsessy.
Pick a word. If you need to know fairy tales, that's who you are. Yeah, it's also been a while since we've actually said the title of our show. It's been a fun hiatus.
Thanks very much, Marilag. And over to you, Megan.
I'm the other co-host of Fabulous Retellings. I also host three other podcasts, Judging Book Covers, Handbook for Mortals, and... Mine's at Yerk, which is brand new, so I totally just forgot the name, but we're good.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Megan. So, as you mentioned, Fabulous Retellings, Fabulous, see, I always see it written down, and I...
Yeah, it was one of those things where someone bouncing names off people, they came up with a fantastic name, and none of us went, oh, we're actually going to have to say that.
Yeah. So... The reason I had you two in mind for this particular episode is that we're going to be watching a film that's based on The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen, which falls into the fable slash like fairy tale realm. Is this one a fairy tale that you two are familiar with?
Familiar, yes. We haven't actually discussed it yet in Fabulous.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely familiar with it. Just haven't done our deep dive into it yet.
All right, so this is sort of like a preliminary, like splashing your feet around, you know, appropriately enough for, you know, a thing about mermaids.
Exactly.
I'm totally unfamiliar with it until essentially yesterday, because I'm guessing you've both seen the Disney very famous movie version.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of different ones. So it's interesting to see the differences in which one is closest to the story. Have you read the story?
I read it yesterday on the train to my friend's very non-stag do slash bachelor party. Because that's what
the
you
best
do.
Story to read before.
Yeah,
you know?
absolutely.
And it's the Andersen version? That you read?
It is, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a previous version? Because I always just assumed it was one he made up out of his own head.
I didn't look too deeply into this, but I don't know if he got influenced by other stories, because I know there are different types of mermaids in other countries. I know in the Philippines, Filipino folklore, we have different types of sea creatures, and one of them sounds like mermaids.
Oh, okay. And are they friendly mermaids, or are they like sirens? They'll kind of lure you to your death type creatures.
Well, the uglier ones are the evil ones.
Oh, okay. So there's actually like a moral spectrum with them. Like,
yes,
of course.
Like with people, they're not all just good or bad.
Yeah.
The pretty ones, geez.
Yeah, that is maybe not so good. What can you do? Yeah, so I was sort of... Despite not having watched the Disney version, I kind of knew a lot of the plot beats, but I was kind of surprised by... I shouldn't have been, because this tends to be the way with older versions of fairy tales before Disney gets their hands on them. But yeah, it was somewhat darker than I was anticipating. Actually, tell you what, it's probably worth doing a like basic rundown of the main beats of The Little Mermaid in the, or at least the Andersen version. So I don't know whether I should do that because it's relatively fresh in my mind, but
yeah, go ahead.
I can have a go and you can tell me if I'm wrong. So we have a little mermaid, obviously, as you might expect. Unlike, as far as I can tell from the Disney version, she's not an only child. She's, I think, the fifth or the sixth daughter of the Sea King I don't think he has a name in the story. She's the youngest. She's really fascinated with the human world and isn't allowed to go up and see it until she's 15. So all of her older sisters get to see it first. And there's some business about, you know, sometimes stuff from the surface floats down and she gets like this marble handsome statue of a man and she's very enamored with this statue. And then when she finally goes up to the surface, she sees this very handsome prince. And I don't remember whether whether this is separate from when the shipwreck happens. I think she sees him on the ship and then there's a storm and nearly everyone dies or is going to die in the shipwreck. But she saves the handsome prince and takes him to land and then rushes away again. But she's in love with him from that moment, you know, as you do.
As you do, yes.
He's a very hunky prince, so, you know.
Insta-love back in the 1800s.
The insta-love is strong in this one, yes.
Right. Yeah. What happens from there? So she's kind of obsessed with him and basically keeps coming and having a look at him. And then from that, she's trying to work out how she can be together with him. She asks her wise grandmother what to do, and she says, well, us mermaids, we don't have souls, so, and humans do, so that's not going to work out. But if he were to fall in love with you and be married by a priest, you'd get a bit of his soul. So then you'd be together. But that's not going to happen because you have a fin, which we think is beautiful, but, you know, humans tend to prefer legs, so he's not going to go for that. So I, you know, if I were you, I would forget about it and enjoy the rest of your 300 years, because that's how long mermaids live. She doesn't take this advice on board, and she pays a visit to the sea witch, who says, yeah, I'll help you out in return for your tongue, which I'm going to cut out, and you'll get legs. So he'll fall in love with you, maybe. But if he doesn't, then your heart will break and you'll die straight away and turn straight to sea foam and not live out your 300 years. And yeah, so she washes up on land with her legs and no tongue, is sort of semi-rescued / brought to the palace by the prince. They get quite close, despite the fact that they can't talk, but then he falls in love with a beautiful princess from the neighbouring kingdom, and that's obviously bad news for Little Mermaid, because she's going to die. Her sisters turn up with a dagger that they've got from the sea witch in return for their hair, and they say, it's fine, if you murder the prince, then, you know, you'll get to continue living, so you should do that. And she doesn't do that, because at the last minute she decides that murder maybe isn't the way to go. And so she dies, but instead of dying, she becomes a person of the air, which is like another kind of spirit, which we've just been introduced to at this last minute of the story. And so she can earn an immortal soul eventually, maybe, if she helps humanity. So as far as I know, that's all of the story. I don't know whether I missed anything out, whether there's anything you two can help me fill in.
That's pretty much it. The ending is always very, very strange. I just read Daniel Mallory Ortberg's version, which the ending's slightly different, but I'm just now realizing like how similar they actually are almost all the way through, because I totally forgot she becomes like a spirit, basically.
Yeah, and I hope you'll forgive me for a totally shameless crowbarring / shoehorning of this in, but seeing as that's a massive example of Deus Ex Machina, I thought I would mention that one of my previous guests, Tracy Tanoff, also appeared on your show for when you discussed Ex Machina. So so yes, a little aside that I thought I'd drop in there. But
yes, Tracy has been on a few of my shows. So she's always great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Very, very smart.
So if you've not heard that episode of my show, you should check it out. And Megan, if you send me the link to that, I'll put it in the show notes and whatever.
Okay.
So yes, but on with this particular show. So don't turn off and listen to one of those just yet, but do listen afterwards. Oh man, awkward. So Yeah, anything else that we need to mention about The Little Mermaid?
No, that was pretty much the skeleton of the story. Everything else is like, you know, different retellings of it.
Yeah.
I think the last retelling I'd watched was an anime version. A Japanese animation of The Little Mermaid.
Which one?
I can't remember if they actually called it The Little Mermaid or something else, but they were true to the story, and the mermaid actually just dies and becomes seafoam, and I don't think they went further into her being this spirit for good. It was just a very tragic end to...
Yeah, maybe this is just like my dark, melancholic personality or something, but when I read the story yesterday, I was kind of like, the way you've set this up, you have to finish it by having her just die, you know? Because these random spirits turning up that we've never heard anything about before and just going, hey, she's not dead. It seemed very much like tacked on to give the story a semi-happy ending. I don't know whether either of you like the Myths and Legends podcast, Jason Weiser, I think it is, which my wife introduced me to. I listened to his take on The Little Mermaid, and he absolutely slammed the original story. And I don't know how you feel about it, but it does seem quite misogynist in bits and pieces.
I mean, most of these fairy tales come off as very misogynistic, and this one is not as rage-inducing as some of the ones we've discussed in the past, because, I don't know, like, this one feels more, it makes more sense to me why this one gets adapted into, like, YA books and things like that. Like, it has... Mary said most of what you gave was like a skeleton outline, because the rest of it is the angst and like insta-love and like what usually comes with those kinds of stories. So yeah, I don't know if I find this one as misogynistic other than just like of a product of its time. But yeah, like it is a weird ending.
I mean, you could, I guess, read it as a cautionary tale in the sense of like you shouldn't give up your voice in exchange for looks.
Or, you know, don't do deals with a sea witch.
Yeah.
They will fleece you.
That, yeah.
For everything you got.
Yeah. Although, to be fair to the sea witch, she does say, you know, if you want to back out, if you don't like the terms and conditions, you know, you can walk away. So maybe she gets an unfair rap.
I think the tide is turning on people and their love for Ursula.
Oh, the tide is turning. Very good.
Not intentional, oh my but gosh.
Nautical puns, even unintentional ones. Awesome. Well, I think we should introduce the movie we're going to watch. So it's called Rusalka, which is the Russian word for mermaid. And finally, on this podcast, I've got round to a film directed by a woman. Ooh. It's been very male-dominated so far.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's quite bad that I've got into the 20s of this podcast before I've got to this point. So that's an oversight on my part, which is very bad. But yeah, so her name is Anna Milikian, and she was born in Soviet Armenia, and I think she's now based in Moscow. But she was relatively young when she directed this film. This film's from, I think it was made in 2007 and like received a release outside of Russia in 2008. So yeah, I think she was like 30, 31 when it was made, which is, I don't know if it was her first film, but it's still, you know, quite a lot of people aren't directing their first film until they're slightly older than that. So that's pretty cool that she got that gig. And it was actually Russia's entry for the Best Foreign Language Oscar category in 2009, I think. But I don't think it made it to the final, you know, nominees for the ceremony. Okay. But it was Russia decided it was their film which would have the best shot at that. So yeah, so that's pretty cool. And I think that's how I found about it. I was just kind of trawling through lists of things that they'd submitted, you know, as potential things to watch. And I was kind of like, oh, that sounds cool. Very small, nerdy language note. The Russian for mermaid, as I said, is Rusalka, whereas the Russian word for little mermaid is Rusalochka. So that's like the diminutive. So for the title of film,
okay.
I know, super nerdy. But I don't know, maybe it's significant that they've gone for just the standard word rather than the cutesy diminutive word. I don't know whether that has anything at all about We'll see when we watch the film. But yeah, so that's that.
So have you seen this film before, or are we all three going in blind?
Totally going in blind.
Okay.
I've seen the trailer. I've seen like a few sound bites. Like I saw one critic described it as like Russian Amelie. So that makes me think it's gonna be whimsical. I've seen photographs of the lead actress from like publicity stuff, and she has very green, sort of like washed out hair. So that seems kind of mermaidy. But other than that, don't really know anything about it. So. Yeah, how about you two? Was this something you'd heard of at all, or just, yeah, it's a few years ago, so it's kind of obscure.
Well, I'm just wondering if this is anything to do with the tale or the folk creature, Rusalka, because the folk creature is what I know in Russian fairy tales, and the Rusalka is not a very pleasant creature, so...
Oh, okay, see, I just knew the Russian word. I didn't know anything particular about, like, I'm not very good at my Russian fairy tales, to be honest. But yeah, so you sound like you know a bit more about them. Could you elaborate?
Yeah, the Rusalka is like, in the Russian folklore anyway, they are pretty much your standard sirens.
Ah.
And they try to lead people that they want to lead into lakes. And then they just, once they get charmed into going into the lake, the Rusalka will pull them down by their feet. And they usually take forms of beautiful men and women, and sometimes even just like animals. I forget which ones, but essentially they're the type of people that will pull you down. So they're not very pleasant.
Right, right. Duly noted. So not like the Little Mermaid in the original, where initially she's thinking, oh, it's a good thing that the storm's happening, because then he'll come down and be able to join us. Oh, wait, that kills humans. scratch that. Okay, cool. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm pretty sure it's not a horror film.
Didn't look it.
But who knows what will turn up. Yeah. No, it's cool to get that perspective on it as well. I wonder whether that's because Russian culture, medieval culture particularly, was influenced by Greek culture because of, you know, orthodoxy. So I don't know whether that meant that they had access to the Odyssey before, you know, I say we had it in the West. So yeah, totally speculating there. I have no idea. All right, cool. So we should probably watch the film. Now, what we always do at this point is we say a little bit of Russian. The bit of Russian we say is the word that Yuri Gagarin said when he was launching off into space. So instead of a space voyage, we're having like possibly an oceanic voyage for this one, but never mind. So that word is poyekhali.
Oh God.
Okay, yeah, I know it's one word, but it's a few syllables.
This is triggering like every single French class anxiety my entire life.
I'm sorry.
I'm so bad at languages, so...
No worries.
Poyekhali?
That's really good. Excellent. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
So, if we do 3, 2, 1, and then I'll have the fun job of trying to sync this back up again.
Okay,
so, 3, 2, 1.
Poyekhali!
And we're back. We've just watched Mermaid, directed by Anna Malikian. And before we discuss what we thought of the film, it's over to Megan for the summary. So over to you, Megan.
Okay, so this movie is about a girl named Alyssa, I guess is better. Alyssa at the age of 6 and the age of 17. At 6, she experiences an eclipse of the sun and stops speaking, but starts to realize that she can also make wishes, which then goes on to... She doesn't speak for 11 years, and during that time, she makes a wish that she doesn't want to live in her Russian town anymore, which causes a drastic, devastating hurricane, and she and her mother and grandmother have to move to Moscow, where she takes on a bunch of odd jobs, and until she finds saves this guy, Sasha's life, which then leads to her becoming his housekeeper, because that's what you do when you're in love. But yep. It also breaks the quote-unquote spell of her not being able to speak until she meets Rita, where she performs a spell to get the guy that she loves to love her. Unknown to her, Rita performs the same spell for the same guy. She then has another dream/wish where of Sasha dying in an airplane accident, calls him and causes him to be late to the airport, so he lives. He then goes rushing after her, where she inevitably dies to become that lovely spirit, and he goes on to be with Rita. That is about, like, the most basic nutshell that this movie has.
That was great. Thank you. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
I think we should probably start off by, what did you two think of it as an adaptation of The Little Mermaid? Did you think it was faithful, not particularly faithful? Did you like things they changed or whatever?
It was something. No, it had definitely paid homage to The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it does.
With, you know, it starts off in the sea. So after I watched the first part, I said, oh, so it's because I had no expectations about what this movie was about. So coming in, I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, this is a retelling? How is this not a retelling? Are they just, you know, using the word mermaid to describe? But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, I think it is an interesting, I don't know if adaptation or interpretation is better, but it definitely has the major hit points from the original story. She loses her voice. She dies for the man that she loves that doesn't really love her.
Right.
There's a bewitching, magical aspect of it. She's got a grandmother. I mean, that's up in there too.
Yep. I didn't even think of that one.
I love that grandmother.
The grandmother who's just staring at her while she's like talking about her grandmother who died. This movie was strange, but I actually really enjoyed it.
No, so did I.
Oh, good. I'm really glad to hear that, because obviously the ending is kind of depressing, which the funny thing was, I was sufficiently swept up in just watching the film that the ending blindsided me, which it really shouldn't have done. I was kind of like, maybe they're not going to do that bit after all, you know?
I mean, I figured the whole red lady thing was going to come up eventually. And when the car started driving around and, you know, showing up, I said, oh, someone's going to get hit.
Yeah.
So I ended up, because there was a scene that I didn't quite understand what was going on, so I went to look and see if it was on Wikipedia. Ended up spoiling it for myself, which is fine. Like most movies, I tend to go in pretty spoiled. The car, that still scared the shit out of me. It was still there's another movie, One Day, I think it's called, with Anne Hathaway and with McAvoy? I can't remember who the guy is. Anyways, no, it's the guy from the Beatles movie. Anyways, it's based on a book, and I had the same, like, jolt, because I read the book, I knew how that movie was going to end, and still, when it happens, it was like, what just happened? So I ended up having to rewind, because the cafe scene, anyways, I ended up watching it twice, and both times, still very jolty.
And it fakes you out as well, because she has the near miss.
Yes.
Which kind of, you go, and then she gets hit right a second after that. So you're just kind of, it's just taken your attention away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing. But yeah, as I say, I should have seen that coming. So there are some changes. Her dad, for example.
Yeah, I really thought this was going to be like a mermaid movie, like where she figures out she's a mermaid. Yeah. So when the dad's missing, I was like, okay, clearly, even though he was dressed like a sailor, he's clearly a mermaid. Yeah, no, I was very wrong, obviously. But
I mean, you could say it's slightly magical realist, because I thought the thing about her having powers was kind of ambiguous, you know? because I, for most of it, believed she didn't have powers. She just believed that she did.
Yeah, I was always in between those two. Like, did she believe she had powers because things were happening, or was she actually causing them? And I kept ping-ponging between that the whole movie.
Yeah, but I think it's cool that there's that kind of ambiguity. I mean, I thought the thing with the apple trees in the courtyard, the school,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was just her imagination. That didn't really happen in real life, so...
But then how do you explain her predicting the plane crash?
Yeah, I know. That's possibly where it comes down, like, one side rather than the other. Yeah.
Yeah,
in terms of other changes, I don't know about you, but I really liked that her voice comes back. Because I thought, because about half of the way into the movie, about an hour in, she still doesn't have a voice. And I'm kind of like, you're sort of distracted from that by the fact that you do hear her inner monologue. So it's not like it's a silent movie, almost, but and with just other people talking to her. But I thought, is it going to do this all the way through? And then it didn't. But I liked that they brought her voice back.
Yeah, I like it. And then she calls her mom, and her mom's like, no, you have the wrong number. It never crosses her mind that this is actually her daughter.
Yeah. Which I guess would make sense if she hasn't talked for 12 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got so used to that. And then she shows up in the... That was one of the scenes where I burst out loud laughing on the bus, where she shows up again in the supermarket, talks to her mom, and then mom... mom gets so, you know, jostled that she lets her coworker fall off the ladder. That was great.
Yeah,
that was one of the notes where I actually wrote down. I have a few, like, LOL moments. That's all I wrote.
Oh, yeah.
The first was the grandmother pulling the chair. The rocking chair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's on fire.
Yeah, I think grandma was my favorite character, hands down.
She was great. She was great.
From the standpoint of, like, hey, how'd you guys fall in love? Well, he brought me ice cream every day. I was like, Mom,
and you see her eating ice cream in every single scene.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's one time when she comes back and the grandma says, did you bring me ice cream?
Right. I loved it. And what else?
Oh, that other LOL moment was, I was actually walking down back to my house, and I think she was doing the same thing, Alyssa. Crying in her beer costume.
Oh, yeah.
And she just spent the whole time, the whole you know, scene just crying down in the rain because it had to be that dramatic in her beer costume. So I just laughed because, you know, here right now it's completely sunny and really hot. So...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for that scene, I was kind of like, pathetic fallacy much, but you kind of get away with it because she's in the beer mug costume, so that makes it funny, and it's not just, like, maudlin. I mean, you do feel sorry for her, but...
I don't know if it's my jadedness, which I have a lot of, like, I'm not going to lie, but I just was like, what did you expect? That he, like, got a pineapple for you, that he's, like, actually in love with you, and, like, he has... barely had content for you, or anyways.
Barely concealed contempt.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Thank you. And so he steals you a pineapple, you play a game, and you think you're now in love?
How in general do you feel about Alyssa as a character?
I think the actress did a really great job. Because, especially with the long time of no communication, but the actual character is supposed to be 17, she does turn 18 in the movie, and she is at best maybe like 13 maturity-wise.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely agree with you on that one, yeah.
And I can't quite tell if it's like a... I know she's sent to a school because she no longer speaks, so she's sent to like a mentally handicapped school.
Yeah.
But... I don't think she's supposed to be mentally handicapped in any way. And it's not like her mother has her priorities askew, but she isn't abusive or she doesn't, I mean, she's still a decent mom. Like, she's not portrayed as someone that we should hate.
No, she's just a bit grumpy.
Yeah, I didn't really, you know, resent mom. If anything, she was... And just as interesting a character in her own right.
Yeah, she made me laugh quite a bit.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, she kind of had some kind of, like, I don't know, because if I say, like, determined to make the best of things, that makes it her sound like a really sunny, cheerful character, which she kind of wasn't, but
no.
She did have a kind of grim determination.
She just was out for, she was out for her happiness.
Yeah.
But not at the neglectfulness of her daughter, it just was kind of like, I don't know. I know plenty of moms that are like this, so it's like, I don't think are bad moms. It's just, you know, especially when her daughter's 18.
Yeah.
I am all for her trying to bone down and find a man because her daughter's 18. Like, she no longer has to take care of her. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Right, as far as Alyssa being not very mature, I just put that down to the fact that she hadn't had peers or her peers had been developmentally disabled.
Challenged.
Kids. Yeah. So that's, you know, not having, like, how do you even talk about this sensitively? Like, kids without those issues interact with.
She's like a person that has never been, well, she's very whimsical. And
oh, certainly, yeah.
Definitely to a fault. But it's also like, you know, she has experienced hardships. Like, she hasn't had a dad. They lived in basically a shack by the sea. So it's not like she's had this amazing life. She, you know, it kind of reminded me of, like, Kimmy Schmidt without the tryhard.
Okay. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's one major change from the fairy tale. She's not, you know, some princess at all, you know,
no.
Total opposite end of the social spectrum.
Right.
Yeah, to the point, like, so they're, the soccer fans vandalize a part of Moscow that she happens to be working in, and she gets caught in the middle, which I laughed at the woman before her, or the girl before her, who was, like, calling her mother to be like, I'm spending the night at so-and-so's house, like, don't worry about me, it's fine.
Yeah,
I'm like, you're in jail.
Yeah.
It's
wasn't
okay.
And wasn't she, like, nude, apart from she was wrapped in a in a flag?
Yeah.
Yes. But, so she ends up getting accused of this vandalism, too, not that she really fights it, and they take her passport for 1,000 rubles. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, her boss.
Yeah.
What does this mean to, like, what is, how much is this? And it's $16 American back in 2008.
Yeah. Actually, this was really nerdy because I looked up when I was kind of like, huh, is this a real game that they're alluding to? Or is this more like alluding to an event in Russian history? And it works both ways. In 2002, there were big riots in Moscow when Russia lost to Japan, which is who they lose to in the film. So it's specifically that game. So that kind of locates the film, you know, a few years before, you know, when the actual movie came out, in terms of its setting. But what I initially thought it was alluding to was in 1905, Russia lost a war to Japan. And that was the trigger for, you know, massive, like, revolution across the country. So, yeah, it could be alluding to that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. But it kind of works on both levels, I think, which is interesting. But, yeah, she's totally hapless in that regard because her mobile phone costume gets burnt.
Yeah, God bless.
she has some, well, obviously, the ending is very unfortunate, but she also accidentally throws a 1,000 ruble bill.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I could not have related more to a person than I did in that moment where I was just like, I've done this. I have done this so many times. This is why I don't keep cash on me. like I lost a credit card for 3 weeks because I stuck it in Northanger Abbey as a bookmark.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Yes. And I kept looking, I was like, well, nobody's using it, so I don't think anybody's stolen it. And, like, I don't remember taking it out of the apartment.
Well, you just had to crack open your Jane Austen again.
I did. I think I actually was moving it and was like, what is in here?
And you sort of got out of your routine of, like, regularly reading a bit every evening or every couple of days or whatever.
I think I just switched books and just didn't think about it.
It's a good one, though, for anyone who hasn't read Northanger Abbey. It's very funny, so...
Yes, it is my favorite Austen. I will defend it. I would love to write a retelling of Northanger Abbey because I feel like it's not done enough.
Northanger Abbey is already retelling in and of itself.
Shush, Mark.
We agree to disagree about this one.
We will disagree to disagree.
Right. I feel like in the interest of maintaining the peace, we should probably move off. In terms of other characters. Sorry, yeah, go on.
No, it's okay. I was just looking at my notes and they're so weird. They're always so weird. But
can relate. Can definitely relate.
The woman without legs.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And at one point she says, it can't sleep, but I swear it sounds like Chinese pizza. So that is as close to like Russian as I'm just going to like really fastly say Chinese pizza at people and be like, no, I'm just speaking Russian. Which is probably totally really offensive. But yeah, I was trying to figure out in The Little Mermaid, like who she would be.
Yeah, I wondered whether it was just a weird stand-in for... Well, it's the Little Mermaid who doesn't have legs, so we have to have somebody who doesn't have legs. Here we go, here's this character.
Yeah.
But I like that they periodically brought her back. They didn't have her just in it for, like, 1 minute. But actually, the first place I lived in Moscow at a metro station, there was a... I guess he must have been a veteran, but was also in the same situation. He'd lost both of his legs and was... And moved around on one of those. It's kind of almost like a skateboard.
Yeah. Mm.
And had almost like a hand weight that the one that she has. And that was kind of like how he got himself around. So that seemed very familiar to me. But the first time I saw that in Moscow, I found that quite shocking or upsetting just because I don't think I'd really seen people in the UK with amputations that high, mm-hmm. and also they'd be in a wheelchair here,
mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't, I mean, I don't know, maybe now they would, that's a little political aside, but yeah, they wouldn't be like essentially having to beg on the street for a living. So, but she was very upbeat, that character.
Yeah, she was, she did not care what her situation was. She was gonna yell at people and she was happy.
Yeah. Oh, I liked her sayings, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what, I don't know if I missed it or if she'd mentioned it, that she was, because she always just kept saying, you know, this is what pregnant people should, a pregnant woman should do.
Yeah.
Every so often she would mention, you know, something about a pregnant woman. And I was like, is she pregnant? Or was she pregnant before? And
well, I think she was faking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that either.
Yeah.
But, and she said, like, the thing she says is something like, or one of them anyway, was if a pregnant woman looks at a picture of a beautiful woman and their daughter's a girl, she'll be beautiful too. Yeah. And so obviously that's what my mother did because, you know, look at me. So that amused me.
Yeah, because the other one was a perfume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pregnant women should be around good smells.
Yes. Yeah. And some casual vandalism ensues.
Yeah. Which they did not get arrested for. They just basically are like, get out of here, please. Like, go.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel like maybe in real life that would have been taken slightly more seriously. But
yeah. Whatever.
I almost wanted to keep rewinding to the part where she just, I don't know what she was doing, but she was just cursing out someone.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, look, Russian curses. Maybe I can try to learn some.
Oh, I love that basically calling anybody a goat is incredibly offensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Which is funny because GOAT also stands for greatest of all time. So, which I've only seen in relation to Roger Federer. So that's why it kept popping in my head. It's like, this is not an insult to me. Like every time I see this is not supposed to be. But I laughed. I also wrote down pus filled vampire.
Like, yes.
That was amazing.
That was a good one. That was great. Yeah.
It's like, that is something I'm going to call someone this
vampire. Even if they don't particularly deserve it, yeah.
Oh, exactly. I have plenty of people that I can call it that maybe don't quite deserve it.
Oh, I know a couple of people who do.
Yeah, we'll have to compare notes after we go through it. We talk about Sasha?
Sure, yeah.
the like worst love interest of any movie ever.
He's pretty lame, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Rita pretty much summed it up when she says that he's much more in love with his fish than any of the other girls in that movie.
Yes.
Because, I mean, the first question he had, one of the first questions he had to Alyssa was, where is it? Where'd you put my fish? And you're just like, where'd it go? Where did it go?
But he had the coolest job. Like, if I could make this job work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. I was watching it and like, what is he selling? And then I realized it's properties on the moon. And I'm going, right. Oh,
and
my
Mars.
God. Oh, and Mars.
And okay. Venus.
Just properties and planets.
Yeah. Because when you first see his apartment, you're kind of clearly this guy is making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the prince thing. But I thought it was clever that it was properties on the moon because of the whole moon and the sea connection. I thought that's good attention to detail. I like that.
Good connection. I did not get that. That is good. But yeah, he was something. He's very clearly not happy as he tries to commit suicide like multiple times. And
yeah, I mean, the first one is like he deliberately throws himself off the bridge. The other time he's just so off his face that he doesn't know where he is.
But
that's another change. Like, I think in the Hans Christian Andersen story, his life is saved once. Here, I counted at least three.
Yeah, it sounded like it was at least three. Airplane, drunk on the road, and then
jumping off a bridge.
Him throwing himself off into the water, yeah.
Yeah, he was something. He parties all the time, sells property on the moon.
That he doesn't actually have deeds to, but he's managing to con these gullible, well-to-do Muscovites.
Yeah. But I like his theory behind it, is, you know, people sell property on Earth, why can't I sell property on the moon?
Yeah.
Fair argument, okay?
It's quite an argument that Karl Marx would go, right on, brother. Property is theft. However, you're selling it, so maybe not so right on. Oh well.
And the funny thing is, like, none of the customers expect to even go on this property. They just want property on the moon.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't remember who they didn't want to live next to.
Mike Tyson.
Oh, Mike Tyson.
Oh, and it's yeah.
Like, but are you actually going to live there?
Yeah. Oh, who is it they did want to be next to? I'm trying to remember that.
They had
someone wanted to be near Russell Crowe, but yeah, Russell Crowe had not bought property yet.
He wasn't the client yet.
Yeah. He said, oh, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I guess it's no different than like getting a star named after someone, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
But also it's a lot pricier.
Yeah, and if it's this whatever agency has the responsibility of naming stuff. That's a bit different from somebody who's just randomly set up a company and is convincing people to buy into it. What did you think about Rita? Because I was trying to work out, is Rita the princess from the other kingdom? Or is she the sea witch? Or is she kind of a combination of the two?
I mean, I don't know. She's definitely the princess.
Yeah.
Or a combination. Yeah. But
I don't think you could really find the sea witch so much.
No.
Well, it's more of the end of the world caused her to stop speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe her mother?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I felt like Rita was just, you know, she had all of the characteristics of that female that took the love interest. Mm-hmm. And then it was always between her and Alyssa. In the end, she gets Sasha. So she would be that princess from the other kingdom.
Yeah. Although I don't remember the princess from the other kingdom spending that much time in lingerie.
You have never know. They actually, wasn't this the time period of like corsets and everything? You never know.
Or bustles.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, because there's only a few scenes in which she's wearing outdoor clothes, shall we say, which is a bit weird. But I thought it was interesting the fact that even though she's introduced in a state of mostly undress, she's watching the news and she turns to Alyssa and says, yeah, I like to keep up with current affairs. And I think a lot of male directors wouldn't have added that detail in.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know who Alyssa thought she was supposed to be, because, like, she's very clearly in his room and no clothes.
Yeah.
And then Alyssa goes, why are you here?
Yes.
After that whole tirade about the fish.
Reasons.
Yeah, it was... I don't know if we were supposed to find her, like, charmingly naive, or just naive. I don't know.
Yeah, just a bit dim.
I really wish I had seen this back in 07 or 08, because in 08 I would have been 20. So I still would have been around that age, and I'm very curious how I would have reacted, as where now I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, you dyed your hair for a dude. Why'd you do that? Oh, you're trying to get attention. Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, I did like Rita's slightly catty, like, why'd you dye your hair? No one does that anymore.
Oh, no, Green's not in.
Yeah, Green's not in.
Which, like, fuck you, Green's always in.
Yeah, but she does have a sort of slightly out of time look, even if it's 2002. You kind of think of that look being more like a sort of grungy, like, early to mid-90s kind of thing.
Yeah, and she's very buttoned up. Like, even when she's in her most whimsical outfit with the green hair, it's still a dress that comes up to her neck.
There's
no sexuality, despite the fact that, like, she basically introduces herself and says she's in love with this guy. So.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, she's not taking the same route as Rita is to, you know, attracting him.
Right.
You could say.
Yes, in fact, you are correct. Quite the opposite.
Oh, in terms of other boys in the movie, because you have...
Oh, yeah, that other...
That was a detail you said in the first part, that the age gap is significant. I mean, I guess Sasha is either late 20s or early 30s. And...
So, I looked up their ages.
He's only, like, 2 years. Right?
Yeah,
2 years
really?
Older. Yeah.
The actual actor and actress are only 2 years apart, but they look, between makeup and costume and everything, like a good 10-year difference.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. He reads much older.
Yeah, but she was 26 at the time. He was 28, so... It still reads very creepy. Like, yeah, yes. The commercial of this, I went, please tell me she's not 15, wanting to, like, hook up with, like, a mid to late 20s, because, like, I can't do with that.
Yeah. But he isn't attracted to her at all, so...
No.
Apart from at the end, when he kind of thinks...
For the most part...
Weirdly, that she's saved his life, and that somehow...
Like, just
mean something.
Yeah, but for the most part, he just seemed more perplexed by her because he can't seem to figure her out. So,
yeah, it's like, fine, you keep showing up, you keep, you know, basically doing a good job of cleaning up my post party apartment. So, you know, do what you want.
I guess she does. We never see her clean. We see her dancing around, but I guess the apartment gets clean.
Well, she was putting bottles away at some point, and then...
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But that was most of the cleaning that we actually see.
Yeah. Anyway, I was going to say, other boys, we also have Igor.
Oh,
what did you have to say about him?
That's the one in from university, right?
The one who didn't make university. As I don't think
I wrote... Women are nymphs, oh, so romantic.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was terrible. But he was exactly what you expect most 20-year-old guys to be. Look, I don't want a relationship. I don't want to deal with all this, like, will they, won't they? Let's bone now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'm doing you a favor by just, you know, not pretending all that stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, and when he goes on his little... rant about how great real sex is compared to cyber sex.
I forgot about that. Yes,
good for you, man.
Yes, there's just something different about hearing when you pleasure a woman, and I want to be like, real talk, dude, you don't know.
Yeah, he was really gross. I mean, he made Sasha look like a catch by comparison.
Oh yeah, which is saying a lot.
So when there is a bit where it looks like out of just being really depressed about Sasha not liking her, Alyssa basically, you know, looks like she's just gonna get drunk and sleep with Igor. It's really good that that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know if it freaks him out, like he just is a lot, talks a lot of game, or if he actually is kind of a good dude.
Not as terrible, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair, yeah. That doesn't necessarily make him a great dude.
Yeah, just...
No.
Not as bad as we
thought. A worse dude would have just been like, well, hey, or something. Yeah. Yeah. But that was like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Although I like when she buys the vodka and the condoms, she also buys Chupa Chups.
Yes.
And the shop assistant is kind of like, what do you want those for? And she's like, for pleasure.
Like, it took me a minute. I had to Google it because I was like, are these different than what I think they are? But they're the suckers that, like, we ate as kids. It's not.
Yeah. It's just her pronunciation. Yeah. She says Chupa Chups. Yeah.
Well, it was more of the reaction of the shopkeep that I was just like, wait, is this something, like
different?
Why is this the thing you're questioning?
Yeah.
Of all the other things that she was buying.
Yeah,
it's just an odd combination because, vodka, condoms, you kind of get an idea of somebody's plan for the evening. But
and then Chupa Chups.
Doesn't really fit with that. Yeah.
To each their own.
Well, indeed, yeah. Not wanting to yuck somebody else's yum or whatever. Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, we've talked a little bit about whimsy. I think I mentioned in the first part seeing that people compared it with Amelie.
Yeah.
Do either of you think that's valid?
Well, it's very artsy. Like, the art direction for it, especially with the beginning. Because I've seen so many French movies at this point. But Amelie and there was another one that I enjoyed that also reminded me of this, which was Love Me If You Dare. And they start off with characters being little kids. And everything is color and everything is bright. And then they just, all of this art direction peters down to darker colors and a more somber tone. So they're going for Amelie. I'd say it's kind of like, I would say it's a Russian, not so much equivalent, but similarity.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the fact they kept returning to her sort of like dream landscape. Mm-hmm. It's the same each time. And that's like very sort of bizarre combinations of colors, but it looks cool.
Yeah.
I like that her dad apparently like, because I assume she has no idea what her father looks like. So in her dreams, he's a scuba, like the scuba man. Yeah. Gets at the bottom of
a diver.
Fish tank.
Yeah,
a diver. That would be better.
Yeah. With the, those really massive wrought iron diver's helmets.
Yeah.
That's a cool image. Yeah.
I also really like that the opening of this, just going on with the dad still, is a not conventionally attractive woman shedding all of her clothes and getting naked. I was like, we are 2 minutes in and she is naked. I have no idea where this film's going, but okay. And it turned out to be her mom.
This is what opened up, and me being on the bus and it's people standing right there and I'm like, oh yeah, what? Naked woman.
There was a point because when I texted you were like, I'm gonna watch it on the bus, and I was like, okay. And then like about an hour later, I was like, I should have probably given her a heads up that there was nudity in this.
Yeah.
But I did not. I'm sorry.
Well, nobody complained, so just the man sitting next to me turning to my phone every so often. I'm like, oh, God. Can it get any more awkward?
He just wanted to watch, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, will there be any more nudity? Yeah, which I guess there was a little bit, but it's mostly that first scene. Yeah, and then later Alyssa.
Yeah, like once in a while, but it wasn't nudity for nudity's sake. Like just it wasn't too much of it that.
Yeah, it was more. That was more like Alyssa was kind of checking herself out.
Yeah,
and then finding herself wanting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which was quite sad.
We do get Rita naked when she barges in on them having sex in the bear costume.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just point of clarification, Rita is not having sex whilst in the beer costume. It's Alyssa. Just
No.
It was Alyssa. Alyssa just barging in.
Although that would have been super funny.
It would have been an interesting take on I guess some kind of kink. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know whether that one has that specific one has a name, but yeah. That would have taken the movie into slightly surreal territory.
I mean, Alyssa went a long way. At least she didn't burn anything down the second time she did the barging in.
Yeah, yeah. Her words are exactly the same. It's the exactly same. Yeah, the same,
it's the same words, but Lisha didn't burn anything down.
No, no. Particularly as that would have been in an apartment building, so it would have been burning down a bunch of other people's houses at the same time.
Yeah. How are we supposed to take the fact that, like, she burns her house down at 6 years old?
I pretty much just sat there going, this girl's a sociopath. Why?
Yeah, like, yeah.
What was going on?
Yeah.
And, did nobody notice that she... I don't know if the mom or the grandma ever really... knew?
I think they did. Well, because they talk about right after she's like, you know, when dad comes home, I'm going to tell him everything. And she's like, your dad's never coming home. Like, stop acting out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just interpreted as they figured it was an accident. Because that's what you'd want to figure. You wouldn't want to think that your six-year-old kid's just an arsonist.
That's fair. That is a can of worms that nobody's ready to open.
No.
But yeah, yeah, I like the random montages that the film had.
Yes.
It was just a lot of, like, especially when they move from their little village to Moscow, and you saw all of those shots, just one right after the other.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, established you've gone from really quite a sleepy place to a teeming metropolis, or megapolis, as the subtitles used. Yeah. Oh, I'd almost completely forgotten to mention this, but I enjoyed the use of advertising, which I think I have never ever said about a film.
It was, I'm glad they subtitled most of the advertisements.
Yeah, oh, it's important. If you leave that out, I think the film is considerably less funny and satirical. Yes.
Right.
Like, I love initially the, you know, wasn't it something like, your dreams will come true, guaranteed?
Right.
Yes. They subtitled it slightly differently on the thing. And it's for the ballet school in the seaside port town, and then you see that being destroyed in the hurricane, which is, you know, kind of on the nose, but and then the other good one is the banner that comes down in front of their flat window in their new place in Moscow.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a cool image when the caption for that one is, it's good to be home, even if your home is a fairly tiny apartment in a giant tower block that now has not exactly natural light anymore.
No. I don't know if we ever see the apartment, like, in its entirety, even lit.
No.
When she comes home on her birthday, it's, like, her mom and the butcher in this, like, one light room, and then her grandmother's in, like, this dark, backlit room asking for the ice cream, and it's definitely interesting. I think it was your bedroom, too, at some point, so it's...
Yeah.
But never... In most movies, you feel like you have a sense of what an apartment looks like. Like, we have a sense of what Sasha's apartment really looks like. But,
oh, yeah.
But not hers.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time there.
Like, the ceiling that has all the curtains. Not curtains. Whatever they're called. But it was... What were the skylights covered in? They looked like blinds. That's the word I'm looking for. Like, those plastic blinds.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember now. I just remember it was huge and has a spiral staircase.
Yes.
And, like... a big jacuzzi.
Yes.
Well, that was the original goldfish, right? It used to be in that bowl, and then it moved to the bathtub, and then he went and got a fish tank.
Well, wasn't it initially like in an oversized wine glass?
Yes.
Yep. That's, yeah.
I thought it was a bowl until she picked it up, and I said, that's a wine glass.
Yeah.
It's got a stem,
It's a really huge, like, sangria glass right there.
I think it's it's a port. Oh, there's a word for them.
No, it's not a port glass, because if you drink port out of a glass that size...
No, it's definitely not filled. It's like one of those that you're supposed to swish whatever goes in it around to get like the...
Yeah.
There's a word for it, and I cannot think of what it is. My bartending days are way too far behind me now.
Yeah, that was much bigger than the... there was one that one of my coworkers ordered yesterday night, and it was huge, but this fish bowl was much bigger.
Yeah.
This fish bowl...
Yeah.
But it was
fish bowl.
Still,
I'm just going to call it a fish wine glass bowl.
She still found it too small. It's too small for the fish.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a fair call. Oh, what else did I have? I liked, this was a sort of a sly thing for Russian fans. Like, on the wall in their shack, speaking of the apartment, they have a reproduction of a very famous late 19th century Russian painting called... helpfully, Portrait of an Unknown Woman, which is by Ivan Kramskoy. It's now in the Tretyakov, which is Moscow's like most famous museum, and that survives the burning down of the and the hurricane, and it gets hung on the wall in the new place.
Oh yeah, that's a bit of continuity,
but it's quite beaten up. But I like that it was a famous Russian art piece, mm-hmm. so I thought that was cool.
That is really cool.
Other than that, I think I've kind of mentioned most of the stuff that I wanted to talk about. Like, I briefly have in my notes, we have Fifth Element on TV.
Yes.
That's the cue for her dyeing her
hair.
That
made me laugh.
And I didn't know whether the fact that it's Mila Jovovich, or however you pronounce her name,
yeah,
was a deliberate nod to the fact that I think she was born in Ukraine and speaks Russian. In fact, I don't think she speaks Russian fantastically well, because my Russian teacher, when I still lived in Moscow, showed me an interview with her where on a Russian like chat show, and she's talking about her like upcoming movie, and my Russian teacher was like, did you spot all the mistakes she makes? I was like, no.
She's
like, she did this, and this. I'm like, oh, okay. So sorry, Mila Jovovich, I'm Russian language shaming you, but you know, you can have a conversation, which is more than I can often manage. So, hey. Yes. Sorry, random detail I thought I'd throw in there. I might have to cut that out.
No, I think it fits. I think it was very much intentional. You know, she's a very yeah. famous Eastern European actress. You know, there's not a ton of yeah. those, unfortunately.
No, I guess not. I mean, oh, what's her name? Mila Kunis is...
Yep, she's another. I think yeah. she's... Yeah. Crap, I can never remember what she is. I'm looking it up. She's Ukrainian as well, okay.
Ah, okay. Sometimes they're bilingual, but yeah. Especially that time period, because...
Yeah.
Since independence, it's much more... there's been much more of an emphasis on learn Ukrainian, whereas, you know... in Soviet times, it was kind of like, well, you're just going to end up using Russian for your job, so that's the way. But yes, probably best not go too far down that particular road. trying to keep the podcast as apolitical as possible.
You know, now I'm looking, there's a lot of Ukrainian actors and actresses that I did not realize were Ukrainian. So I take it back. Maybe there are more than I realized.
Just very good at assuming other accents.
Yeah, good for them.
I'm really glad that you both found this funny, because... I was aware that it was kind of a comedy going in, but subtitled comedies, you know, don't always travel, so...
I mean, the trailer and then the little summary on IMDb was just... I don't even know, because it was completely... It doesn't fit. Let me see if I can pull up the summary again. Because it pretty much just says a girl disappears after she falls in love or something.
Yeah.
That makes it sound like a sinister murder.
Yeah, it really does.
In Moscow, a young woman disappears after falling in love with a new man. And at least the first hour of this movie doesn't even take place in Moscow.
No.
So
yeah, it was definitely, I guess, very hard to categorize. And yeah. I'm not entirely sure the preview does it justice.
Well, I don't think it did, because I had no idea what I was looking for when I was watching the movie. Just
no,
with that trailer.
No. I don't watch a lot of trailers these days mm-hmm. for this reason. I just don't feel like most of them portray movies accurately at all. So
either that, or they include all the best yeah. bits.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But I will say we both have a good, healthy love, I think, of crazy foreign films. Not saying that yeah. like all foreign films are crazy, just like we've watched a lot of them that are... very whimsical
I enjoy the whimsical crazy foreign films.
Yes. And the ones that aren't so much, because yeah. Unbearable Lightness of Being, nothing like the movie, is still a really, or nothing like the book, is still a great movie.
Hmm.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, me neither.
There's also Harlan Coben, who's an American author in Jersey. I think he's actually not too far away from where you are in Jersey. Is like really popular in France. So, mm-hmm. like, he's, one of his novels became a French movie, and, like, he's done a few French TV shows. It's very strange, but those are all, like, murder mystery kind of things, so.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make you want to check out other Russian films in general, and particularly other films by this director?
I definitely will check out other films by this director. especially in part because it's always really great to see what other women are putting out there.
Right.
And yeah, especially in a country that I'm not anywhere near, I don't know much about Russian film at all, but my guess is, considering how few Russian or American female filmmakers there are, it's probably even less in Russia, so probably even cooler and worth checking out because of that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there's definitely, as best I understand it, in Soviet times, there was at least like a token effort to go, see, we're about equality, and that means between the genders as well. But it didn't always work out like that.
Yeah.
In fact, but that was the game that they talked, whereas now it's a bit more like, no, no, traditional values, men should be in charge of stuff, and women should look nice, so hey. Yeah, not.
Yeah, she's actually, she's Armenian-Russian.
Yes.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I think she's Moscow-based now, but yeah.
That's so cool. But yeah, I actually have not seen many Russian films. I don't think I've seen anything but this one. I know Meg and I talked about possibly doing one of the Russian movies. Was it A Donkey Skin when we were thinking about it?
Gosh, I don't remember. I know that there was one we could... It was Donkey Skin, I think, because there was one that like we really, really wanted to watch and we couldn't find it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one.
Which happened a few times. I know 1001 Nights also had one that we couldn't find.
Yeah, 1001 Nights had one, and then Donkey Skin was the other one, but we ended up watching the French version, which, you know what?
Totally worth it.
Totally worth it. But yeah, I definitely go and look for, to watch, you know, just to see other Russian movies. I'm actually interested in their takes on the traditional folk tales. So
yeah,
yeah, I'd have to check those out as well. I'm trying to think if there's anything that's recent. I guess with often them being quite short, they don't necessarily lend themselves to like feature length movie. But there may well be stuff that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Right. Well, thank you so much both for your time. Before we wrap things up, though, anything you'd like to plug? How about you first, Megan?
If you go to judgingbookcovers.com, you will find a not too up-to-date website, but it'll have all the links for my other podcasts and anywhere else that you want to find me. They're all primarily about books, with the exception of Fabulous. We also talk about movies, too. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Anything you'd like to add, Merilag?
Oh, yeah. You can also find me on my blog, which is storyinsomnomancy.wordpress.com. I haven't been updating lately, but mostly because school and planning for a wedding. But things will get back to being up to date. I mostly talk about food. Maybe a little bit about writing this summer, but yeah, food and books.
Yeah, if you have not checked out her blog, she is one of those people that while she's reading something, I get messages that's like, so they're talking about this food in this book, and now I'm Googling it, and I think I want to make this. And it's always so much fun.
Awesome. You have a new series of Fabulous. I messed up again.
No, that was actually not bad.
No, that was actually fine. Yeah.
Ah, I second-guessed myself, and never mind. Yeah, so you also have another series of Fabulous retellings coming up.
Oh, yes.
/ in the works. What's the plan for that
one? So, hopefully it'll be starting it up soon. I think the delay most recently has been more my fault. But we have changed our formats, and we're starting it with our new season. So if you go and listen to our first 5 seasons, we took a fairy tale and discussed all of its retellings. Or not all of it. We discussed 5...
Several retellings.
Yeah. And which we had a lot of fun doing, but it kind of was... We got really sick of the story by the end of it. So now we are taking fairy tale tropes and talking about the fairy tales that they show up in and doing retellings based on tropes.
Yeah. So our first one would be... You know, we're starting it simple. We're talking about stepsisters. So, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is Cinderella.
Yeah.
But definitely changing it up.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to look out for that. Thanks again so much for joining me. It's been really great.
No, thank you for having us on.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
I love the idea. I feel like it's a very underutilized market, talking about Russian anything. So
it's definitely a niche, but the trick is like actually having people find that it's out here.
Yeah.
So yes, definitely don't have too much competition for talking about Russian movies.
Well, I would point one of my seventh graders up to this podcast because, you know, he's still in the middle of his Tolstoy reading.
Oh.
Poor kid.
Cool. Yeah, I'll just have to point him towards the non-sweary episodes.
Yeah, the non-sweary ones.
Don't want you getting in trouble with parents.
Oh no, he's great. He's fine. And the parents love me, so.
That's always good.
Parents always love me.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and do svidaniya.
Bye.
Hello again. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Russo Files Unite podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. There's a couple of different ways you can do that. There's a Russo Files Unite Facebook group you can join. We're on Twitter at RussoFilesU. And you can also email at RussoFilesUnite@gmail.com. If you can spare a couple of minutes to rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, that will help other people hear about the show and would be very much appreciated. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye.